Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports In Depth is the show. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day, asking that you have your will and way. Loving gratitude, we cannot stand, but on our knees, humbly, we kneel and pray. We thank you for this special day, and our unique way we say we love you. Thank you, and let your will be our will. Give us so much, Lord, not what we want, but what we need. It's you that we need and we want. Bless our families, bless our friends. Bless our families here in the USA. Family and friends abroad, my beloved. Brazil. One point of the Lord, I just want to thank you. Blessings unseen, unheralded, unmerited, forthcoming and past. And we ask that you bless the combatants on today's football field, that victory will come about without the cause of injury. But more importantly, the Lord, let your will be first and foremost. In the name of your darling son, Jesus, who died on the cross, that we may have the right to tree of life. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake, Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports In Depth is the show. And I see the first lady of Sports In Depth Sports is here, Lady A, and we were trying so much to try to get Mr. Lucas to join us, but in the hectic and pre-scheduled situations of pre-Super Bowl week, but we will have him in the ensuing weeks, no question about that. And we talked the other day, and so redundantly and with so much reserve and respect about the passing of Angelo Dundee and Don Cornelius. And in the fight game, we find, too, that the other trainer of the marvelous one, Marvin Hagler, the other Petronelli brother, Lady A, I heard, passed away just the other day. So in a span of 2 months...
Don't forget Wayne Kelly, too, the referee for Bo and Galata, controversial
fight. Yeah.
Bo and Galata also passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see the Hoopster came in. Hoopster's on it early, too. Old Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so he's kind of smart, and I think he probably went to the Giants to win so they could beat up on the...
Definitely. Yes, I do.
On that. Yeah, well, they had done so well, too, against the... in fact, they had beat New England. And I've dominated them, but we're here at Super Bowl Sunday. We're going to talk about Super Bowl Black History Month. And I also wanted to, because so often I put the taglines in on my show, and now it's called, I can't find out. And the big five names there, Jim Brown is one of them. Curtis Martin. We got to salute Curtis Martin.
Yeah, congratulations, yes.
Made the NFL Hall of Fame. He talked, what a great guy. Class guy, class act, a guy that personally met. And the man who, as of date, is the oldest man in the history of the NFL to lead the league in rushing, supplanted Marion Motley, who had that record at one time, the old Cleveland Browns. In fact, two-way player Motley was. And so we salute Curtis Martin, say congratulations to him, making it into the Hall of Fame. Jim
as
Brown.
As a Jet.
And Jim Brown, the greatest football player, running back of all time. Bert Sugar said he figured the greatest athlete of all time.
Never got hurt.
Hmm?
Never got hurt.
Never get. You know what? You know it's amazing. No, you know, Hoopsa, and this is the thing I say about this. I have so much pride in my crew. I know, but you can't understand people across the world. The conglomeration, this mixture I have. Now here's Hoopsa, and Hoopsa is one of the legendary players in the game of basketball. Okay, and yet. You know, to sit here and make that comment about Jim Brown is not only a profound statement, but one of intellect. I was fortunate by the grace of God, as all of my grace and good things have been God. How are we having the legendary sports editor and sports writer of the legendary Amsterdam News said by one to be the dean of American sports writers, all sports writers. And how he, the late, great Carl Nesfield, who was Malcolm X's personal photographer, had invited me down to the legendary Showman's in Harlem where Jim Brown was speaking. Jim Brown has always been a guy that the community could reach, and there's always that great line from Dr. King, life's most persistent, most urgent questions, what are you doing for others? They're on the Showman's, and after the presentation, Howie says to me, hey, Mel, you got a car? I said, yeah. I said, could you give me and Jim a ride? Are you crazy? You and Jim Brown? No problem. It's Jim Brown said to me, we're kicking it. And we got to Spafford. And Howie, again, in his classy way and just the giant that he is in this business, in our society, and that's both African-American and American society, he said, Mel, you know what? You introduced Jim. You know what I mean? And I remember telling him that, you know, you have no idea who stands before you. But the kids asked Jim question, and what you said, Hoops, one kid asked Jim, he said, you know, of all your records and accomplishments, what is it that you are most proud of? And what you just said, Hoops, he said, I never missed a game. Eight never. Years he led the league in rushing out of 9 years. The 1 year he didn't lead the league in rushing, he scored, he rushed for 996 yards, and that's because he had an injured hand. But the staggering fact is he was a guy who was the fullback leading the league in rushing. He had an 1,800-yard season in only 12 games.
You know, so Doc, you're saying that, Doc, if I could just interject for a quick second, can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
I had heard a while ago, I mean, and this was back in the 80s or 90s, you know, these guys played like warriors, like gladiators in, you know, in the arena. And I had heard a while ago, you remember the running back Eric Dickerson?
Oh, yeah.
I had heard that this guy actually had played one time. His finger was almost severed in the game, and he kept playing with his finger like that.
The great Eric, number 29, Eric Dickerson, was a state of the art back. He had, it was one of those goggles. He got the first man ever to rush over 2,000 yards in the history of NFL. Dickerson would have been the all-time leading rusher, but you know, when you're African-American and you're kind of defiant and you kind of stand your ground and you kind of have some intellect and, you know, society doesn't like you, you know, when you're not in your place, boy. And Dickerson was blackballed. Dickerson was blackballed out of the NFL the same way that Barry Bonds was blackballed out of Major League Baseball. But
just the fact that somebody plays like that, Doc, isn't that crazy?
Listen. You know,
these guys with no joke, like Hoops are saying, man, never got hurt. Never. These guys always came and played like warriors, gladiators.
And I mean, Doc,
hey,
you know
not
about
only
Jim
that,
Brown.
Lady, hey, but what you have to remember is this is Mel
Hey,
Jr.,
Mel.
By the way.
Hey, Mel. Hey,
a pleasure to have to our incredible crew. Not only that, Lady A, but
you
back in the game, man, guys would get concussions.
Of?
They just say that he got dinged, put this melon sauce on his nose, and send him back out.
Oh. He wouldn't say anything. No, I slipped. You know, it's just starting. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports and Depth is the show. The crew is here. It is a pre-Super Bowl special and a continuation of Black History Month.
Hey, Doc.
And, yeah.
Yeah, if you talk about Jim Brown, you know, a long time ago, he had a book I call Out of Bounds. And let me tell you something. You know, I read a lot of books. That's one of the best books I ever read in law from an athlete.
Yeah, I read that book. It was good.
Hell of a book, Out of Bounds. Right? The thing he went through in Syracuse, man.
You know, you know
really
who's you know who's
you
talking
you,
about?
You,
you're talking
on,
about
hold
Jim
on,
Brown.
Hold on,
Doc, just
back
real quick.
Back. Hold on. You still have that book, Hoopster?
Yeah, of course I do.
I like the bar. Real quickly, again, Hoopster, you sort of be in this basketball thing, but, you know, you're moving over here. I like your style. But out of, again, another profound, Jim Brown's biggest thing is running back. He said, Jim Brown, don't run out of bounds. Jim Brown didn't believe this running out of bounds nonsense. Believe it. Lady A. Go ahead, girl.
No, I was going to say, I was watching an interview on, you guys know Ray, from the Ravens, right? I know that you and C had gone down there and talked to Ray, and Ray Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And in an interview that he had on Yes, he was being interviewed by Michael Kay, and he said that Jim Brown and him sat down for a long period of time, and he told him, listen, he was the guy that was going to take the NFL to another level. And I think that Ray has had such an impact on the Ravens, especially after his incident that happened, like 15 years ago now with the shooting?
Yeah, shooting, yeah.
And he brought a lot of the stuff that Jim Brown had as far as a player onto the field. And I think he's just had such an impact on the new generation and just the generations that have followed after him, been just so profound. His impact on in the NFL that needs to be commended as well.
Well, not only that, they always, it's amazing how they always try to bring it up now and then. Here's a man once again that the court system exonerated, that the court system said he wasn't guilty, and it's amazing how it's an error, it's a mistake. The system is not functioning properly when it administers justice the correct way to us. The horror, the disdain, the constant pressure that was put upon O.J. Simpson when he was found innocent. I mean, in this country, you're innocent to proven guilty.
Yeah,
Juice
but, Doc,
was
you
know,
guilty.
You gotta look. Juice was guilty, and proven you're innocent to proven guilty. Juice was guilty and found innocent and is still guilty. Ray Lewis, real quickly. Great family, a very religious guy.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
Who always puts his faith and trust in God.
That's it.
A tremendous football player. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing how the system is somehow, there's something wrong with it. When Cut Him Loose, Bruce has got a black guy in front of him who's got a 9-to-5. He's a college-educated guy. It's the first time he's went through a light. And you said he was drunk, but he said he didn't. So you know what? I give him a $50 fine. There's something wrong with that.
Lest we forget that sometimes through trials and tribulations, God puts us through these tests, and then when we survive is when we learn to see really what God's blessings are all about.
What I'm saying is, the point I'm making here is that when the system works for us the way it works for them, there's something wrong with the system. When the system finds us innocent, when the system doesn't give us this horrendous fine, when the system does the same thing it does for them, for us, all of a sudden there's something wrong with the system. When there's a war on, everybody's in the foxhole, we're all soldiers, what I mean? But when you come out the foxhole, now you're the white guy who lives in New England, and now this guy is a Hispanic guy from Spanish Harlem. There's no question, you can never, the guard... Arthur Ashe said, the trials and tribulations that God brings you through the fires, it refines you into a solid, outstanding piece of gold.
That was my point, bringing up Ray Lewis. I mean, look how he's been able to accomplish in his life. It just says a lot about him too and his family and his strength.
What you said, the bringing through. If God is for you, who can be against you? That's the bottom line.
And
we look back on this country as we talk Black History Month, it is the African American who built America. It's the African American who took care of the master's kids, who cooked for the master, who worked out in the fields, who Africa had two golden ages before Europe had its first. Slaves were so profound in intellect that they learned to read upside down so they could fool the master. And, Jim Brown again. Great line that Jim Brown had, because the sad commentary in our society today that our African sisters and brothers from the motherland come here with this superiority complex, this thing of that we're not of the pure blood. Then you take your pure blood butt back to the land. You know, it's simply, yeah. But the thing is, Jim Brown said the African-American that is here in America really doesn't have blood from the motherland because of master messing with our mothers and sisters. So, you know, we are a conglomerate of Irish, German, whatever. My family, you know, as I look at I told my brother yesterday, and I want to happy birthday to James, who has a birthday on the 7th of this month, which is the day before my Uncle John's, which is the birthday of George Herman Roof, Babe Roof, and the day before that, as we mentioned Hank Aaron also in our tag.
Okay.
Hank Aaron has a birthday on the 5th. I thought that was really funny when I found it out, that Hank Aaron's birthday was February 5th, and the next day, February 6th, was the birthday of Babe Roof. And at that time, they were 1-2 on the home run list. And the thing here is, you know, I'm of African-American, and I'm of Native American descent. Man, who has been more subjected to racism, disharmony, and disdain in this country than person of African-American, Native American descent? And, you know, Jim Brown, once again, the out of bounds, Jim didn't understand, went out of bounds. Jim Brown started that Black Economic Union to help.
Great book.
And I read a book where, you know, FBI agent said, you know, he felt bad. He said, you know, we were doing stuff, following him, and, you know, it was unfair. He was doing nothing. It was totally unfair. And it just shows, once again, here's an African-American guy, economically solid, cerebral. You talk about that thing in Syracuse, Hoops, it's so, so true. You know, people don't understand, you know, they would take Jim Brown out of a football game if he dropped the ball one time. You know, Jim Brown was an All-American in spite of the stuff there. His last year in Syracuse, he didn't go to Syracuse on a football scholarship, and it was for years, for decades, that Jim Brown did not have any contact or relationship with Syracuse, though. They always boasted he came from there, and Floyd Little and Ernie Davis, who was the first African-American ever to win the Heisman Trophy. But, you know, you're right. The things they did with Jim Brown, it's amazing the things they always do to African-Americans. And yet it is unquestionably. I asked the great Gale Sayers one time at a press conference at the Holmes Tyson fight, and I asked Gale Sayers, and I may be redundant panel, who's the best running back, Mr. Sayers? And he asked the question about, like, what do you mean? 2-2 is always for Jim Brown. And I said, well, why? You know what I mean? And Gale said, because first of all, he was the best. Second of all, Jim Brown played in the era where the defense was designed to stop the rush first, okay, and the pass second. The late Dick Lynch, outstanding cornerback from Notre Dame, Giants, friend of mine, and he's been passed about 3-4 years. And I asked him one time, and I knew the answer. I said, Mr. Lynch, you know, Dick, how good was Jim Brown? He was silent. He said, how good was Jim Brown? He said, look, he was all they had. We knew he was coming, and we still couldn't stop him. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Death with the show. This is our Super Bowl pregame special along with our continuation of Black History Month. Lady A is here. The Hoopster is here. Sea Wings is here. And also we have Mel. I got a 513 call. Who's that calling in? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, okay. I got the Hoopster, Lady A, got Sea Wings, and I got a 513 area call. Who's this calling me?
This is Cincinnati, Phil Bacino.
Who's that?
Cincinnati.
Hey, Cincinnati, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Okay. Okay. So, hey, you're close in. Okay, what's happening with the Super Bowl today? Who you liking? What's going on?
Oh, it's got to be the Giants. Sorry. It's the Giants all the way.
Why? Why?
Elway's going to do it in the kicker. That's it. They're going to win this. They're going to beat the Patriots. They'll do it.
You know, I looked at an article the other day, and people have not kind of grasped how ordinary Brady had, you know, what kind of masked the absence of Randy Moss was Brady winning MVP last year, first time anybody ever won unanimously, and so forth and so on. But, you know, the Patriots have not been the same football team since Moss has left. They lost that deep threat. They lost that superiority. You know, teams feel that they can beat the Patriots, and I felt it was – I've long had a problem with the announcer saying, and then today's game, the officiating crew has a combined total of 105 years. You know, I have no problem with that. If you do the job, I feel without question they blew that touchdown call against the Ravens, and I'm waiting for a book to come out like the basketball referee did about how certain things guys have been paid. I mean, you know, I hate to see a game determined. The kicker should have made the kick, but it actually should have been a point after. I hate to see a game determined on horrible officiating, especially in today's game where you have a high apocalypse of so-called officials. You know, I remember the old days, Hoopster, when the Celtics used to play the 76ers up in Boston, and Mindy Rudolph was the only guy who would call a foul on Boston players, it seemed. You know what I mean?
Of course,
he was the only referee that you could go into Boston and you knew you'd get a fair shake of officiating, because Boston has had the lopsided side. And with Boston, we want to happy birthday to Bill Russell on the 12th of this month, the man who won 11 championships in 13 years, the first African-American coach to win an NBA championship as a player coach. Him and Will Chamberlain, my beloved buddy who I miss dearly, are the only two guys who averaged 20 rebounds a game their whole career. Russell won 11 championships in 13 years. Actually, he won 11 championships in 12 years, because the year that the Hawks won the championship, he was injured. And if you take the two years that he had in college, Bill Russell won 11 and 13. He won 13 and 15. He actually won 13 championships in 14. Back-to-back championships, okay, in college. 8 straight years the Celtics won the championship. Not 3, not 4.
Eight straight years.
The Boston Celtics were the NBA champions.
Doc, let me just say one. Let me just ask Hoops or something real quick in relation to that. Being that Doc Rivers, you know, was coach of the Boston Celtics, you know, his son is ridiculous, Hoopster. You know,
oh, he's
right?
Crazy. Oh, his son? Oh, my goodness.
At this portion
of the show, they will take over and I'll talk about basketball. Go ahead.
No. But my question to Hoopster was is, you know, obviously his father's an NBA coach. His son's playing for Duke University now. My question to Hoopster was is, Dawkins also plays on that team. Is that Johnny Dawkins' son?
Yes, that is. Yes, that is.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because I wasn't sure.
Somebody said
it's Daryl Dawkins' son. I said, no way.
No, that's
you know,
Dawkins'
you know
son.
What, panel, you know, fans, Doc Stanley Sports over the Blake Radio Network, do you understand what you're hearing here? Do you understand what you've just been told? Do you understand the intellect, the ability, okay, the constant awareness of this panel? It just, you know, Mel Rooney always says about this store that stirs the drink. This is a hell of a drink. I stir, baby. My goodness, you know.
You got more. A lot of ball player sons gonna be coming out too. You got plenty more.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of more. A lot more.
Let me tell you something. I saw that kid. And I know that you watch a lot of college ball too, Hoopster. I saw that kid the other day. I don't know if it was St. John's they were playing.
Let me tell you something.
He broke 3 guys' ankles and dunked the basketball. Dunked the basketball and got fouled.
And got fouled and won.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That kid is ridiculous.
And panel, so are you. You people are ridiculous.
Off the hook, Doc. Hey, Doc, let me say, if I may, that one year when I was covering the Knicks, I got to talk to Doc Rivers.
Great human
being. An awful lot after
great
a lot
human
of
being. One, one, real quickly, one, one and, of the great autographs and, I have in my collection is he autographed a picture of me from one Doc to another.
Oh, really? That's hilarious.
From one Doc to another. Doc has a lot of friends.
He has a true basketball mind. Okay, talking about Doc, he has a true basketball mind. I knew he was going to coach in this league someday, way back then. I knew that. By the way, Doc, how about giving us an update on DocStanleySports.com? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, gang, DocStanleySports.com is the sports site that I have now. My man Steve Glazer said, Doc, it's not memorabilia. It's historic. It's a museum. Well, what it is.
It's like Big C said the other day. Yeah, it's a museum. I said, that sounds familiar. It's a museum.
Well, you know, I've been blessed. No, Jonathan Cain the other day, he called me Jet. That's a nickname I got from the military. He said, Jet, man, when did you realize how much stuff you had? I said, I haven't. I said, 3 weeks ago. And one of the things that, the thing that Susan Mendoza and Steve said, because somebody said, "Well, Doc, you know, you got to worry about things being validated." I said, "Whoa!" I said, "I don't need anybody to validate me. You have to tell me that Willie Mays gave me this. I don't need anybody to validate that Eddie Murray gave me this and wish a happy birthday, Eddie Murray, the 24th of this month. I don't need anybody to, you know, My press credentials. I was there. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Barry
yeah.
Helper. Barry Helper had this tremendous baseball memorabilia, $3.5 million. And I remember Barry because Barry was a great friend of your guy, Rooney, the late, great Art Russ Jr. It was Art who introduced me to Joe DiMaggio, and I was surprised that, you know, Mr. DiMaggio took me in. We became friends. It was old timers day, and we're looking for Mr. DiMaggio because anytime I would see him, I would say, Mr. DiMaggio, Art Russ said hello. First thing, he never called Art. He said, is Arthur here? Always call him Arthur.
I still can't believe that Doc has the freaking Roy Jones hand wraps. Oh, my God.
Hey, we met Roy Jones at the Garden. Remember, Doc?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
We went to the restaurant.
It was Marion Boykin who first talked about Roy and propelled Roy into him because, you know, Roy was known, but Marion Boykin, Marion B. Boykin, the greatest boxer show in the history of mankind, working on boxing. The B stands always say black, bodacious, brilliant, and brother. And he talked about Roy, and lo and behold, we had him at the boxing writers' luncheon that particular time. Joe, again, I gave Barry, I said, Joe, Barry, could you have Mr. DiMaggio autograph this picture for me? So they left. About 2 weeks later, Barry said, hey, Doc, I got that picture for you. Come and get it. Hey, Doc, let me tell you something, Doc. Your picture was the only thing that Joe would autograph. And what happened, his respect for Art, Mr. DiMaggio,
yeah.
The first time I met him, he went around to do a show with Art called Art of Baseball, and I'm standing in front of the Yankee locker room, and I see somebody coming toward me, and I stop and look up. It's Joseph Paul DiMaggio. And he says to me with a smile, it was very nice to meet you. And we became friends. I mean, you know, he's in Atlantic City, big boxing guy, Lady A. And
yeah.
He signed some autographs, and I had my boxing jacket, which I think in my collection is one of the most. Seven is God's number of excellence. It's one of my seven things. This jacket, there's not a champion of merit you can't name that's on this jacket.
But Jack, so is that the jacket that you, the crunk one that Emmanuel gave you, or?
No. Well, Emmanuel's jacket. What I'm trying to do is get all guys that Emmanuel trained on that jacket. But this jacket, I worked with Tony Tucker. Don
right.
King, I found out that I was the first guy through Larry Hardesty, the guy that comes over, who brings us this voice here. This is, hold on a second now. This is Larry.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley.
Greatest African-American sportscast in the history of New York City radio. Well, Don wanted somebody to work security with Tony Tucker. Tony's fighting Lennox Lewis. And Don knew I was a cop. So he got to Larry. He said, Larry, man, where's Stanley? I want Stanley. So I found out that I was the first guy ever to give Don an on-the-air interview. We're out in Arizona, and Kevin Brown says, look, man, they gave me a point. We're all going to get specially one-of-a-kind made leather jackets. Tony's the number on them, and that's it. You know, the print will be thrown away. So I got the jacket, and I asked Tony to sign the jacket, and Tony was reluctant to sign the jacket at first. And then he did sign the jacket. And I said, okay, I'm going to have only people sign inside the boxing gloves.
Right.
And then I said, okay, I'll have them sign a little bit outside the boxing glove. I gave the jacket to Jose Torres, the first Puerto Rican to win the light heavyweight championship of the world, beat Vili Pastrana at Madison Square Garden. The first time in his fight ever was another national anthem played outside of the national anthem. Jose
asked him
to play the Puerto Rican national anthem,
mm-hmm.
and they told him they would, and then they came in about 5 minutes before the fight. Said, look, Jose, you know, we won't be able to play the anthem, but come on, 5 minutes. Jose, media, un momento. You don't play the Puerto Rican national anthem, I'm not coming out. So Jose takes the jacket, and he signs on the sleeve, and I wind up having everybody sign on the sleeve. So that I think, is one of my most prized possessions, with the first reprint ever had done by Leroy Neiman. Leroy Neiman, I'm going through a Playboy interview. If you know, Leroy is from the Midwest. He went to school, was a veteran, went through school through GI Bill. Him and Hugh Hefner are close friends, and they used to watch the Friday Night Fights. And
really?
Leroy's 90 years old. Leroy's 90 years old.
Wow.
91.
And a great guy, and a huge boxing fan.
Big boxing fan. Oh, yeah.
You know, Rooney, he says that's one of his passions. One of his great stories he tells is he's out at some place, and Joe Louis is there. Well, he leaves, and lo and behold, somebody, as he's walking away, taps him on the shoulder. He turns around, and somebody is handing him his leather
attaché case with his drawing. He says, I think you're going to need this. He looks up. It's Joe Louis. He smiled. He said, can you imagine that? The brown bomber giving me my case. And the jacket,
That jacket, is that the sky blue jacket you wore with the Roy Jones when we went to see Roy?
No,
that's the other one. It's like yellow, it has the yellow sleeves, right, Doc?
Because I know you got one with the blue one.
Oh, the blue one.
You got the sky blue one.
Yeah, well, that one, the late Artie Curry gave me from HBO. I've got a group of names on that one too. I got a whole
of
names.
Yeah, the sky blue one. That was a lot of them on there.
Nah, but listen, when I saw Doc's collection, I almost passed out. You know he has Hector Camacho's hand wraps too, right?
Yeah.
Camacho was my
guy. Lady A, I'm at Doc's. I'm going through Doc's. He's showing me everything from everybody. And I look up and there's a huge autographed picture of my old high school classmate, Juan Laporte.
Juan Laporte.
You're telling your age now.
Juan Laporte. Hey, listen. He's speaking for himself, though, baby. He's speaking for himself.
No problem. I ain't got no problem with that.
Juan Laporte. Doc said he's sports for the Blake for the Rainbow Soul Channel, sports net for the show. Lady A is here. The Hoops is here. I got Mel Cosell. C-Wings, you with us?
C-Wings is here. Good evening, pal.
Juan Laporte. Okay, who hasn't fessed up to attendance here? Now I got one more person.
Harold.
Where's Dusty?
Okay, Legend Harold Weston. Now Harold.
Where's Dusty?
Harold. Juan Laporte was the first ever Puerto Rican to win the featherweight championship. And what I remember, and this is what I tell people, you know, Harold, they don't understand, man, what a happening it was. To be I call them blood matches you used to put up down the garden, man. I mean, you put your car, man, you had to get there for the first. But then I understand what happened. It was to be at the garden on those felt form fights that y'all had, man, because you would see everybody there, anybody and every. Hey, one night that Laporte was fighting, Tony Danza, who used to be a fighter, was headlining the card. I got the poster. Was headlining the card at the garden, and you're right. All of the taxi crew was there.
All of them. They were there to
Danny
see Tony
DeVito. Danny DeVito. I mean, you know, that garden
Mary Lou Henner.
I mean, you could, not only that, you go to, before Harold became matchmaker, you look, there go Harold Weston. Hey, is that Benitez? Is that Ray Leonard? Hey, is that Jersey Joe Walcott? Is that Willie Pep? I met Pep. Jersey Joe, I had Harold my box. That's my man. Okay, Harold, it was, you know, it's a sad, sad commentary that we don't have those fights at the Garden. But then again, we don't have the people there anymore. You know, we know boxing, I think of how boxing took a sharp blow. Boxing started to die when the likes of you, and even Goodman still be there with advantageous, when Madison Square Garden lost the focus and grip on boxing, boxing died, Harold. Boxing died.
Mm.
Well, like I told everybody before, you know, they were complaining, the so-called trainers and refs and managers and everything, because, you know, they had to fight. Everybody was starting to get used to that getting a sure win kind of fight because Don King and the other guys were doing that. And I just told him you couldn't get no sure win. Yeah, I'll give you a fight, but you ain't going to get no sure win. My point was is that when boxing started looking at it on those terms, you know, all it was about getting fast money. That's all it was, picking up some fast money, get a win, and getting the guy to the world title. Things just started going haywire at that particular time. But when I told everybody, I said, when I leave here, the garden is gone. It's going to shut down. And everybody said, oh, no. I said, yeah, you watch and see. And sure enough, I knew it was going to shut it down because I know what Sonny Werblin and Jack Crumpy told me and how things was. If I didn't keep
what
that
did they tell you, Harold? What did they tell you? Because you had, you know what, you remind me of Deja Cotamacio Jr. You know, there are people in this society who are liked and people who respect. Decio in Brazil is that way. And you were, you know, you not like everybody, but you were liked and respected. Trumpy and Werbly. I mean, you can't have two more guys of power and prestige, but pickers and choosers of astute person. Both of those guys liked you, and they respected you. Can you tell us, okay, what did they tell you, and what was your relationship like with them? And we're going to talk football later, gang, but we got Harold, talk to us about that, would you please?
Well, the thing was is that they were like my godfathers. As they adopted me. You know what I'm saying? I would never got into the garden if it wasn't for Gil Clancy. Okay, and when Gil gave me that moment, you got to understand I still had to get past Sonny Werbly and Jack Clement. They ran the garden. They were the people. But the thing was is that these men were willing to take a chance with me off of Gil's word. But everything had to be worked out in a way where everything was word-wise. I had no contract, no nothing. We agreed upon the situation, 6 months try, see if he can do the job by himself, no assistant, no nothing. And if he does it, then we'll keep him on, okay? The years tell you what, you know, how things worked out. I was there, and I passed the test. But when they told, Jack Crumpy told me this, he said, look here, Al. He said, for you to stay in this situation, you are battling up a hill. And you got to understand, there's not many people that doesn't approve of you being here. But we do. And as long as we're here, you're going to be here. Okay? He said, but you got to promise me. You got to bring me a good show. And on top of it, you got to give me 1,000 more people to start coming into the garden. At the time, the garden, when I came into that place, it started fading. They was only doing like 800, 1,000 people a show. But when I came in there, I started doing like 2,500 to 3,000, 4,000 people a show. And
yeah, you sold out for the title fight when McDowell defended your man Mark Waddell, who you brought out of nowhere, and Camacho was a sellout every time he came. Am I right?
Right. So that was the whole thing about it, because, I mean, I had ticket seller fighters started to become good fighters. You got to understand, things were dying in New York at that time. We really didn't have no real name fighters. There was no fighters with no really marquee names. Just think about it. There was no Camacho, nobody, when I first walked into the garden. There was nobody that was existing in New York that you could say the people wanted to come out and see. I had to redo the whole program so we can have some fighters that people can respect and come out. And that's what I did. I started looking at fighters all over the city and started
testing. I don't care if he's green, white, blue, or yellow. Can he fight? I'm walking into Harold Weston's office, always definitely dressed with the process, not an afro, and Harold's on the phone.
Oh, yeah, I'm old school. Hang on.
Harold's on the. But hey, no do rag, though. Harold's on the phone. Hey, listen,
Hold on, stop, everybody.
I own the garden.
Harold.
John Conn is my man. Harold's on the phone.
Can I say something now, Doc, please? Go ahead. Harold, you know what I asked Doc? You know what I asked Doc? Y'all are going to die when you hear this. You know what I asked Doc? I asked Doc if back in the day he used to have a pick. And he was like, yeah, I had a pick. I said, did you have the pick with the black fist? Because you didn't learn to do it unless you had a pick with the black fist.
if you had a pick with a black fist, you didn't have a pick. If you have a pick with a black, I went into the office. Kyle was on the phone. Oh. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. Because, John Conn had told the people when I first got to the garden, Jim Terrain, who I heard from the other day, how John Conn told the people, hey, look, there's a new guy in the scene named Mel Stanley, take care of him. I came in to Sports Through Radio. And I'm on the phone, and Harold is emphatically, you know, because I could, Harold told my man, look, I don't care if he's green, white, blue, or yellow. Can he fight? That was it. And for Camacho, they would call Harold, like you said, hello. Yeah, ABC, hey, man. Yeah, what you got? Okay, we'll take it, clink. Who's a Harold? ABC. Fight for Camacho. How did he care who Camacho was? It didn't matter who. Hector Camacho.
Yeah, but ask Harold. Camacho was the man, though, right, Harold?
Hector Camacho.
Well,
listen. Hold on, Harold. All you need to know about Hector Camacho
is
this. All you had to know about this about Hector Camacho. How good was Hector Camacho? Don King got the boy a Maserati. Okay? Hector drove around in the Maserati that DK, and I know why I know because I drove in it. Harold Weston and John Condon both told me the same thing about Camacho. The only person that's going to beat Hector Camacho, Harold, is who? Who, Harold?
Beat himself.
Talk to me, Harold. They don't hear you. Keep talking.
That's how good he was. That's how great he could have been. He could have been that great if the streets didn't catch up one. But he, the only person, and I have seen a lot of great fighters in my life, but this kid had so much talent that the only person that could beat this kid, he beat himself, and that's what happened. He beat himself.
I'm going to tell you something. Hector Camacho is the only fighter that beat Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard. And people say,
"Oh my God, you're admitting that, Doc? You're admitting."
Let me tell you something.
I wouldn't care when he fought Sugar Ray Leonard. He would beat both of them to death. They both would never have touched him.
You actually admit that, Doc? That he beat
Duran,
your boy?
When Melvin Taylor fought Chavez, okay? I told people, listen, let me tell you something. The only time Chavez would have saw Hector Camacho is when they introduced him and when they raised his hand at the end of the fight.
Listen to what I'm saying. I was trying to make Chavez and Camacho in the early times, okay, for years. And my man, and God bless him, Duke Durden.
Man, we miss him immensely, Harry. I mean, Harold. Go ahead. I said we miss Duke so much, man.
Julio Cesar Chavez for Don.
Keep that Puerto Rican away from that Mexican.
Okay? And so when they were fighting, me and Duke, we used to meet up at least once a week over there on the east side, have dinner. Me and when he used to be in town, he was working for Don, and me and him keep trying to make the fight. He never wanted to fight Camacho. He said, "Harold, I would never fight that kid." He said, "You got to be out your mind." He said, "Savage." He said, "Julio would never even find him." He said, "The only time he'll see him when the fight's over with. They shake hands, it's open fight." He said, "Never find him." He said, "Why would I fight somebody like that?"
Oh my God!
Harold, let me ask you, Doc, and Dusty, the panel. Listen, what was your first thoughts when he had signed the fight, Chapo Rosario?
Yep, Rosario was killed.
At that time, I had no problem with that fight. My point was he was going down the drain, him, because he left me, and then he started messing with drugs, and I knew that for a fact. And then when he started doing that, I knew it was going downhill. That's what happened.
And you know what? And he still won the fight. He still won the fight.
Can I ask a question, Doc?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Howard, what happened to Cactus' son, Junior?
He's in jail. I don't know what happened to him. He might be in jail. But my point is that he wanted to be like, he wasn't his father's keeper, and that's the whole thing.
No, he wasn't. You know, what we're going to do here, we're going to bring Dusty in for 43 seconds because he's late. And then give me time out. Hey, listen. You should have got off your ass and been here in time, you know?
I'm going to tell you, and walk my dog. You going to walk him? Don't give me that crap.
Hey, listen, your birthday is coming, but I brought some for Roscoe, not you.
I'm going to tell you this, though. His son is nothing like him, though.
Hey, Dusty, get the dog a treadmill.
Nah, I was just saying. Remember, Rainbow Soul Channel Sports,
they're all here. Lady A, Dusty is coming now. We got the Sea Wings. You know what we're going to do? I always got a little time to get that break.
I left Sea Wings a message. He didn't respond.
Well, he didn't want to answer. He's here. Dusty, we've been talking real quickly. We're going to let you talk a little boxing, but then we're finally going to get to football. You know, we talked about Angelo, Black History Month, the five-name Jim Brown, greatest football player ever played. Curtis Martin, salute to him for making the Football Hall of Fame. Eddie Murray, happy birthday, greatest switcher in the history of baseball. Hank Aaron, saluting him, whose birthday is coming up on the 5th. And I have a fifth name. I've got Hank. I've got Curtis Martin, Eddie Murray's birthday. I got Jim Brown. I got one more name that we put in the tags. But two things here, Dusty. We'll keep you in football because we're going to boxing. We'll be here all night. Curtis Martin, salute to him making the Football Hall of Fame. And also, after you dovetail on that, I'm stunned. How come Bill Parcells can't get in the Hall of Fame, Dusty?
Maybe because he turned into a pariah and alienated a lot of people. No, really. I have to be very frank. You know, he got a head coaching job, but he wouldn't take the head coaching job unless he was general manager. Those are his stipulations. I am so great that you just don't hire me as a coach. You hire me and put me into the executive board. So he must have burned a lot of bridges behind him. And he could have been, a sure shot slam dunk into the Hall of Fame. So I don't know. I think from my research and what his history, he's been, a good Hall of Fame candidate. And in fact, he, if you guys remember the history, he was head coach of the Giants, and under him was Tom Coughlin and Bill Belichick in a championship team. And then Belichick, I think, was supposed to take over the Giants, but then he turned around and went to New England. Coughlin went over to the Jaguars, was it?
Jacksonville, that's correct, yep.
Yeah. And made them a championship team, and that's why he came in. So he was.
He made the Jets. He made the Jets. He made the Giants. In New England. And people forget before Belichick, there was Bill Parcells.
Exactly. And these guys.
Don't forget Romeo Crennel too. Guys.
Timmy, don't worry. We got a whole platform for you, baby. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Hang tight. No thanks.
So he's a developer of coaches. He's been great, but I think he stepped on some toes.
You know what, Dusty, that's why I had you calling late, because I'm tired of agreeing with you. I did that last year. I'm trying to sucker into this year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? People start to talk about me now. But you're right, Dusty. No. Parcells and Jamie Harris, the great sports writers and afternoons, will join us eventually. And, Parcells was a players' coach. He took care. Like Rex Ryan, he took care of it. I tell you
like Rex Ryan, please don't even mention that.
I remember Parcells.
Sounds like you guys are starting to disagree now.
Boxing. And I remember him and Carl Banks going to fight together. But Parcells was, these are my. The same thing with Davey Johnson. Davey had a problem with I meant to talk to Davey a couple weeks ago. Davey had a problem with the Mets because Kevin Mitchell. His guys. And Parcells, and the press, can be so hypocritical. And I've always said, in our society, when you find a Caucasian that the media is against, they're either first class or trash. Parcells is first class. He took care of his guys. He said, "Hey, look, don't be talking about Dusty. Dusty, he ran for 200 yards the other week, 150 yards. Hey, he's got a sore leg. Hey, leave Sea Wings alone. Sea Wings has been an All Pro for 5 straight years. Hey, Mel Parcells, he's All Pro." Leave my guy. Hey, these guys play football. If you got nothing positive to say about these guys, leave my guys alone. This is about football. And, it's a shame. Chris Carter, outside of Jerry Rice, is the greatest in the history of football. How come he's
Jerry Arro, baby. Jerry Arro. Get it right.
Compromiso, mio.
Jerry Arro.
It's good. Wow.
It's another thing, too, Doc. You got to remember that there was a running battle between Parcells, and what's the guy that went from Miami to the Jets and back to Miami? He just retired.
Jason Taylor?
Jason Taylor. He tore him a new duke, man. I mean, this was a war, and Jason Taylor was pretty well popular and pretty well liked. And he did him a lot of harm,
Yeah, but how do you win two Super Bowls with the Giants? How do you make? I mean, people forget it was Bill Parcells
Absolutely.
Who made New England a power. Bill Parcells who Period. Made New England the team than they are today. Bill
Exactly.
Parcells who, when he left, Curtis Martin came with him. Bill Parcells who brought us class and character back again to the New York Jets. You know what I mean? And he's a player's coach. I mean, Dusty, come on, they're not being fair.
I'm not giving anybody any excuse. I'm just giving you the history that maybe comes into play that why he's having roadblocks getting into the hall. That's what I'm saying, because I know he's been described as a freaking pariah, you know, and managers and owners as a, you know, but his credentials carry him. But somehow or other, the voting block are saying, no, later for this sucker, man. But
are you on the panel, Dusty? Are you holding them back? Are you on the panel?
Yeah, probably, yes.
Yeah, don't move. Take a quick break here. We're coming. You know what? There are no words to describe my affection for you, man. This is always, it's such, you know, an education for me, but the fun, the love, you know, this is just, now, I got to thank Hoopster for hooking me up with the Sea Wings and him hooking me up with Lady A.
Lady A for buying you the pick with the fist, yeah?
Hey, baby, Power P. Harold West is from Way Right Bank. And Dusty, I remember you, man. I remember you.
Just
how
tell
distraught,
me
how, up, how distraught you were, man, when you lost your brother. And I thought how profound that was in today's society to have brothers that were close. Because a lot of brothers are not close. My beloved brother took me to lunch yesterday. I love him. I always said, you know, Christ had a brother named James, and so did I. And I remember how you hesitated to get into the buy. I'll get it. And now you got into it, and I said, Dad, this guy's taking over. Now he's damn near in the ring fighting these guys and everything. You know what I mean? I come up. But on the real side, you know, you came in and you helped elevate the whole stature. I mean, because people, when they saw you, they saw me. And then you brought a Latin side, an African-American side. And who said, again, you just really can't say enough about what all you're bringing. Melko, so, I mean.
Do I look
mean,
like you?
Know, you?
I'm your twin.
Hey. Let me say this, baby. Black is beautiful. Don't move again.
What? I thought I was Caucasian all along.
Dusty, at the bottom of your feet.
Oh, God, that's funny.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul.
Come on, Doc. Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Part two. You know, Larry Hart is amazing. The guy talks about the seventh Monday, and you people, my panel of the wonder. We open up always, thank you, Lord, for being here, and all honor and praise to His holy name, we rejoice in Jesus. Amen. Part two here, we move to our Super Bowl pregame special, and also at the same time, we saluting Black History Month. The five names on our tag: Jim Brown, greatest football player ever played. 8 of 9 years at the league in rushing, all-time leading rusher when he left the football. Bill Russell, 11 championships in 13 seasons. Him and Will Tim, the only two guys to average 20 rebounds a game career-wise. Hank Aaron, all-time home run king, retired most home runs hit by a right-handed batter in the history of Major League Baseball. Eddie Murray, greatest switch hitter in the history of baseball. Over 500 home runs, 500 doubles, and 3,000 base hits. And a salute to the great Curtis Martin, who talked about
congratulations! Yeah.
Oh yeah, and how what a profound effect that he said. I wouldn't be where I am without the encouragement and guidance of Bill Parcells. He talked about he lived in such a tough area that his mother would have him go home and just stay in the house. And then at times they had to turn around and they had him stay with his grandmother. And then they eventually found his grandmother stabbed and shot. And he talked about how, you know, in playing football, how you know it was. And you know, a way to get out. And Marion Motley was the oldest man ever to lead the league in rushing until Curtis Martin. And when he led the league in rushing, I believe it's 2 years before he retired. He's the oldest man in history of NFL to lead the league in rushing. And, yes, Rooney, I've got a pair of Curtis Martin spikes in my Hall of Fame. Great guy.
Hey, Doc, can I ask you a question? How many checks are in the Hall of Fame now?
Huh?
That's the fourth one, ain't it?
What's that?
Jets in the Hall of Fame. That's four, ain't it? Any of the fourth one?
We got Joe, we got Maynard, we got Curtis Martin now, and I think we do have one more. I know we have Joe.
And Maynard?
We have Don Maynard's in. No, Don Maynard's funny. I asked Don Maynard, how come you were number 13? He said, well, my house number had 13. My brother's car plate had 13. You know what I mean? He said, I was born in the 13th month. So 13. Well, said, if you add 12 plus 1, January 13th. January 13th. And he said, I was the 13th kid. He said, and we got to run that again. But I have to check it up. I know Joe is in. I know Maynard is there. I think we must be missing somebody else. But just great, great players. Gang, it's Super Bowl Sunday. We're going to go down to Sea Wings. And then we're going to get. No, but Joe's there. Joe is there. Who won
the
Joe's
the coach. The coach, Doc. Hugh Banks.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Weave Eubanks. Weave Eubanks. The only man to hoop. So you're on the hoops in football, baby. The only man to win.
Sedgwick should have got that one.
Huh?
Sedgwick should have got that one. And,
I was leaving that open for you.
You know what? He's the only man to win championships in both leagues. And I remember Demony, my darling Demony. We were at an affair, and he took a picture with Demony. And when I gave him the picture autograph, he said, Demony, always stay as sweet as you are in this picture today, and she has been. Sea Wings, it's NFL Sunday, it's Super Bowl Sunday. It's the Patriots against the Giants. We're going to give you the floor for the next few minutes. Who wins? Why do they win? What is the strength of this kid? You said that the Patriots were clicking on all cylinders. You said they were going to be here. They're here. You concurred with me and Rooney, Mel Cosell, his man Jason Pierre-Pierre, who should be Defensive Player of the Year. I said the Giants were the best team on both sides of the football. The floor is yours. Let's talk Super Bowl. Let's talk who wins. Let's talk. First of all, who wins?
I think that the Giants are going to pull it off, standing by the 27-19. They're the better team on both sides of the ball with the offense and the defense. Definitely the defense. Everyone is healthy. Everyone is ready to go. And you're playing against a team that was 31 in the NFL as far as defense, the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Before I jump into that, just some good news for us Jets fans here.
Did you get him off Sanchez?
No, Trey Sanchez? Yes. You got Peyton Manning?
Like the Hoops that gave me a news article they had in the New York Daily News after Christmas. They had these little fans pushing an oversized Mark Sanchez into a return aisle. They said they wanted to return him, and it had Sanchez being returned by the New York fans. That was hilarious. But Peyton Manning has been given a green light to go back into playing football by the doctor that actually did the surgery, but he still has to clear the hurdle of the Indianapolis Colts, who I think still are going to cut him at for the March 28th deadline of paying him the $28 million. But I think that he's going to be raring to go. I mean, knowing Peyton, the way that his work ethic is and how he really concentrates and works out, I think you'll see him back in the NFL.
His agent said yesterday, you know, regardless, he said, Peyton Manning, what you're saying right here, first, again, Peyton Manning, you're saying, is not done. Am I correct?
He's not done. No, he's been given a green light that he can play resume football, but he still have to clear the hurdle of the Colts doctors and everything like that. Which, just by the war of words between him and Ursay, they tried to cover it up.
Yeah.
But I think he's done. He's done. But
you have a point there. Sometimes what is said is worse than done. And it's bad enough that I'm late, but that man's only seen. And I remember Priscilla Presley said that in their marriage, what was the turning point? It wasn't something that Elvis had done. It's what Elvis had said. And that great line, you know, you got to be careful what you say because they're like feathers, you know. Once you put them in front of a door and the wind blows them away, they're gone. You're telling me here, C-Wings, that this is a facade about this relationship. His feelings has been hurt. He's been disrespected. He doesn't want to play for the Colts anymore.
Well, he stated that he wants to, but just by the words that Ursay said, that, you know, that he's a politician. I mean, you can see the war words going there. And everyone that he knows, that Peyton Manning knows, has been replaced. They're offering Jeff Saturday a position up in the front office of the Indianapolis Colts. You know, they fired the coach. You know, there's just so many people that he was close with. They're gone. So, you know, he's going to try to restructure his contract where he will be able to be picked up by, you know, the teams that are looking for him. Mm-hmm. Or he'll be that, you know, that key figure that they can pick up without paying so much money for. I don't think it's a money thing with Peyton Manning. He has money hand over foot. But he just loves the game. I think he's the best.
You see, in your research, is there a team in the entire NFL that needs a quarterback, a starting quarterback desperately, especially a guy
Jets?
They don't have the guts. No. They never do it.
Yeah.
Well, you know
but
what?
No,
besides
do
the Jets,
but I mean, another team that will pick him up and pay him the money that he will probably want. That they need him desperately to rebuild their franchise. Is there a team out there?
You have Washington Redskins. That's a mess down there with the Baltimore Ravens. Joe Flacco is Flatto. If you look at it, and Doc, you'll back me up on that. The Baltimore Ravens are all defense. There's no offense there, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not as far as the quarterback position. He's terrible.
Yeah,
he played a little
bit
better in the postseason, but you know they need a quarterback there, and also look at Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville, you know, the Texans, you know, their starting quarterback is hurt. I mean, he has a variety of locations to go to, but I think he'll end up in New York. This would be a Manning town. He's in the number one market. That
would
be something to have two brothers here playing on two opposite teams.
In the same stadium.
Two different conferences in the same city.
Same stadium.
Same stadium. I mean,
an interesting question I want to pose. I want to pose this question, Doc, if I may.
Do you feel that he would come here to New York?
I think he would come here and play.
I want to ask a question.
I think he would fit in. I mean, he can fit in. I mean, he's a big leader.
He's the kind of guy that if he tells Mark Sanchez something, Mark Sanchez, listen, he's the kind of guy that go to Coach Ryan. Hey, Coach, I think his resume, what he's accomplished, who he is like Eve Hutton. They would have to stop and listen and kind of adhere to what he would say or his thoughts or suggestions.
Oh, he gets the respect, but I don't know if he wants to come to a cold weather town. I don't know if he wants to play a cold weather, Doc. And not only that, the guy obviously is destined to do TV, okay? I'm of the opinion, seeing the nature of his injury, Doc, that the first good shot this guy takes could be Kitty by the door.
The nerves have fused in his spine. I mean, now the main nerve that runs from the upper vertebrae to the right bicep needs to heal fully. But he has been cleared to play, and he just might lose some flexibility there. But knowing him and the way he plays, I think he could play another, you know, 2-3 years. I mean, just knowing who he is.
See, I don't think he should risk it. That's, of course, I'm not going to turn it down $20 million. But I don't think the guy should risk it. When it comes to enemies
Okay, I was going to say this. I saw an interview with Ray Lucas, and I think Mel and I have spoken briefly about it. Okay, Ray Lucas sustained the same injury as Peyton Manning, all right? And he basically had said, all right, that due to the nature of the injury, even when guys would come toward him, he would cringe because...
He would flinch, exactly.
Correct. And at the same time, he also said that that injury is so bad that if he gets another hard hit like that, he, you know, that could lead to paralysis. You know,
exactly.
I mean, he could really lose. He could really, I mean, the guy could, I mean, it's a health risk at this point.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So,
you
I mean,
the risk reward, I don't think it's worth the risk reward.
Correct.
Maybe
I mean, Ray Lucas is still,
say.
I mean, I don't know if you guys, you know, I'm just a Ray Lucas fan, of course. But,
plus,
you know,
we're going to eventually have Ray on the show with us. But go ahead, lady.
Yeah, I mean, he explained in detail, like, some of the pain he experiences
absolutely.
And that he goes through. And, you know, I mean, listen, we would have to talk to Peyton directly. But if it's anything close to what Ray described, okay, I would literally have to say that I think he should take the money
and
just retire, okay? Because he's not like he's broke,
yeah.
You know, he's smart enough or whatever. But you know, like most guys would have to say is, hey, listen, you know, if it means that he'll be starting quarterback in New York Jets and get rid of Mark Sanchez and win a Super Bowl, most people would be like, yeah, get him the hell out of there. You know what I mean? But
even if he comes to the Jets, Lady A, with his injuries and age, they only have about a 2-year window for him anyway. They don't want to championship, would have been 2 or 3
yeah, but you know, Rooney,
well, that's all that Rex Ryan
2 years would be good because, you know, it's that old George Allen saying, the future is now. They're starving now. They're only a fool guarantee. If he would come here, I mean, I think the mindset in the Jets was, if he can come here, you know, he can teach this kid, and maybe he can stay here and be the quarterback coach. He's the kind of
he's
guy.
He's not coming here to be a mentor, Doc. He wants to play. He's not coming here to be a mentor.
I'm with you, Rooney. I'm with you.
He
you know what?
Play. He wanna
now's
play.
A chance. Now's a chance. If they do get him, I'm more under the impression that if they do get him, it's because they wanna go. And you know what? With
play.
Rex Ryan talking so much garbage the last 3 years, the
there
average Jets fan is like, you know what? Let's take it and let's run with it.
Don't be
you know?
Talking about C-Wing's man now because, you know, right now he's on the phone. He's probably on the phone calling me right now. He's on the phone right now. Hey, Coach, did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it loud and clear.
Okay, the problem here, folks, is simply this, that question number one in any court of law, when they were eliminated by the Jets, and he needed that surgery, why did he do it the day after instead of almost mid-year, just 2 months before the beginning of the next season? That's the question.
Well, you know, I think that would have to be a question you would have to actually say. I mean, you know, you can't have a guy go right into surgery and he's not feeling all that well either. I mean, it's a health issue, you know. You have to ask him and the doctors.
That's the point. Now, in between that time, he was awarded a $90 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
And the man was on a disabled list getting his neck fixed.
Okay.
Now, all of a sudden, he loses the entire season. Somebody ring that bell. Something is wrong with this man. He has not recovered. Then he's had two other recuperative surgeries since then. Not just one. He's
right.
had two more.
Uh-huh.
For God's sake. I mean, and then the man is married. He has twin boys. What's he going to do? He's going to play with them from a freaking wheelchair?
Right.
His money
no.
that much? First of all, he was already a millionaire, a Super Bowl champ, MVP. He got Hall of Fame credentials. Why risk? Remember that time when was Dennis Byrd
mm-hmm.
with the Jets crashed
right.
into his... And the man barely is barely walking now, even though he supposedly
that's
the, is
all you say is right.
Yeah.
All you say.
And,
but you
and,
know
and what?
What
I'm telling you is...
It's what Larry Holmes said, though. It's hard to stop doing the
like
best
do.
Thing you do in life, and people are going to pay you.
But
you know, he could say, you know what?
Common
I can,
sensibility of it, man.
No,
a common sense
that's I agree with you. I you know, but you know, you have to understand. Not only that, it's you know what? What you're forgetting here? And look at yourself in the mirror. Okay, go to the mirror, Dusty. He loves to play football
up.
The way you love to fight. The way how? And you know what? To a certain degree, it ain't about the money. It's about the love of the game. This is a guy.
Yeah, but Doc, listen to this. You're saying that, but see, even, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean he has to leave the game in totality. Like, look at Harold. Harold went into promotions. No, seriously.
Okay.
Like, look at Harold. Harold went into promotions. You could do
it's
other
not,
things.
People think it's that easy. It's not that easy just leaving something you've been doing since you was a little kid.
Thank you, Harold.
All right.
But the let's get involved. Let's just talk realities.
But Harold, it's your health, though. Harold, you don't think.
But we knew that it was our health when we first went in it. We knew anything could happen. And
when you incur an injury, remember that heavyweight Harold, Joe Messi?
Dusty, stop, Harold. Football players, excuse me, are football players the closest thing to boxers with all the physicality?
Yes, injuries and brutality, with all the respect to other sports.
Okay, it's becoming
a close first. Sometimes I look at it as a balance, because what do you think they wear, the pads, the helmets, the elbows, and all that? If it isn't to brutalize the quarterback and whoever has that ball. The idea is to kill you for that freaking ball, man. And boxing, you, the bell rings, you're going to knock that dude unconscious. You don't care if he has an impending blood clot or detached retina, you're going to put him away. And that's the deal. If you know that you have a blood clot, if you know you have concussions, if you know if you're suffering from detached retina, you don't belong in the freaking ring. You belong
well, that's
back
what I'm saying.
Home.
So then, for health reasons, the guy should walk away when he needs to. He has all
exactly.
the money he needs. You know,
I don't think he will, though.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is this.
To be on that field so bad.
He should step away from the game.
Let me say this to you. A policeman gets shot. He survived.
Right.
Does he walk away from his job?
Yes.
Back on patrol. Hey, Harold, I need my pension, baby. What are you talking about?
That's right. Give me the three quarters. I go. Bye.
My point is,
you're right, lady. No,
I see a lot of cops come back.
What? They don't stop
they
working
come
because
back.
They got shot.
No, they go. Well, some of them go behind a desk. Remember that kid many years ago, in fact, in Spanish Harlem, some prankster thought it was funny to put a firecracker in the peephole of the door. When they responded and somebody opened the peephole, the kid looked through it and the firecracker blew out his eye. He was no longer fit for full duty. What did they do? They kept him on the job as recognition and put him behind the desk. But he's a one-eyed policeman who's in the rubber gun squad. He can't go out anymore. That's what I'm saying.
But Peyton Manning,
if he went out on patrol, that's a danger.
No, listen, Peyton Manning loves the game so much, and I tell you this, and any one of you correct me, or I haven't seen any quarterback that's been given the power that he has. I mean, he, on fourth down, he told the head coach, no, we're going to stay on the field. He told Dungy, we're staying on the field. I don't know any quarterback that I've seen in my
life.
Peyton Manning was the best quarterback of his generation.
Joe Montana has never told the coach that. Peyton Manning is the best quarterback of this generation because he reminds me, and Dusty, I know you go back to Lil David and Goliath, but really, Dusty, he reminds me of Johnny Unitas, Sonny Jurgensen. Y.A. Tittle, Warren Moon, Marlon Briscoe, quarterbacks call their own plays.
Yeah.
I'm the quarterback. In the old days, there was no – Rooney, you feel good about this. There was no Marty Schottenheimer. I called my own plays, and that's why Manning, superior to Brady, superior to Breeze, superior to Manning, his brother, because as a quarterback, like today's game, how are you going to be a guard, Harold, with no jump shot and you can't dribble? You remember an old day? How are you going to be a guard with no jump shot and you can't dribble?
You know what? That's what's so good about this game, and I know that the Giants are going to blow out the Patriots for one reason. My brother played on this field. He's going to tell me every angle how this whole thing goes. And you might not think about it, okay, but home court advantage is always in the best favor of another person's favor. And what I'm saying to you is that Peyton Manning, okay, he's got his brother. He's going to school on what's happening on his field, where the loose ends at, where to throw it, and
wow,
all that.
Wow, Harold.
You might not think it that way, but believe me, it does work.
Yeah, psychologically.
But the Giants do have to worry. I must say this. They led the season in sacks. It was 35. But when you do the flip side, when they had to cover
led
the tight
Jason
ends.
Led by Jason Pierre-Paul, see?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Led by Jason.
Yeah, they couldn't. But when you look at the statistics, when they had to cover the tight ends, which
this is what the New England Patriots are going to have to do is utilize
their strength,
those tight ends.
That's strength.
They can't get the pressure on the quarterback. They're down to two sacks now. When you when you flip it that way, you look at the statistics.
Did you have to
when they have
that
to cover
wings?
The tight end?
Did you have to bring that
sacks.
Up?
I'm not even worried about it. My bet is on already.
Well, I mean, I'm predicting them 27-19, but you also have to understand, Brady, if you don't get any pressure on him, he's a 65-67% completion rate.
Any quarterback, you don't give it. If you leave me wide open, I'm going to jump shot. Any quarterback, you don't put any pressure. Here's a question, too, Seamus. How much, if the Giants play their game right, how much will the Patriots, Sea Wings, miss Randy Moss?
They're going to miss him a lot because if you see, he's the one that caught the touchdown pass in 07 that put them ahead of the Giants.
I mean,
vertical weapon is not there anymore. I mean, in the replacement for him, close to him, was Gronkowski, and how much is he really going to play? I mean, he's probably –
Randy Moss can't really play.
No, I mean, you're going to wrap up his ankle, but the Giants are going to go after him. They're going to hit the mid squad and fall down.
How much of a factor Ocho Cinco is going to be? Does anybody
just as
him?
Much of a factor as me playing on that field. Nothing.
Throw me on the sideline commentating. He's going to be commentating.
Hey, Ocho Cinco.
Hey,
Doc.
Commentating?
On Twitter. On Twitter. He's going to be on Twitter. That's what he's going to be doing now late in game.
Ocho Cinco. But, you know, you got to understand, too, that this is – you know why there's so much excitement this year? This is my opinion, and you can shoot me down if you want to.
Hey, hold on.
It's
Dusty, the opinions of the panel, especially Dusty, are not
Dusty,
those
gonna get a,
of those
who get
never
get a disclaimer.
We won't be sure about what I say. This,
go ahead, Dusty.
The excitement is because this is a rematch of two powerhouses. Okay, what do I mean by that? Last time they met, they were 18-0, going for 19-0, and here comes your little scribblings, and like Seawing says, wow, card, and embarrass them. So
didn't
it's
they
either
beat
revenge
them this
or redemption. One, when they had a full squad of the best teams, including Mr. Randy Moss.
Good.
Now, if you cannot dismiss Belichick and Tom Brady planning strategy like a military thing to overcome these dudes who they feel psychologically or however, physically, however you want to call it, and this JPP, this guy's only a kid. He's 23 and he's an animal. Have over them. That's why people.
And
are
your
saying
boy running like a pest match.
Now,
didn't the Giants beat them this year?
Yeah, they beat them. Yeah.
Okay, my point
right.
is, let me get this. They beat them in the Super Bowl. They beat them this year, but there has been no strategy from that point.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that they are not going to lay down. This is going to be a tough war. Now, the Giants, yes, everybody thinks, now you got to understand also the maturation between the two quarterbacks, the maturation of Eli Manning. Tom Brady has been in the league, 10, 12 years. He suffered concussions. He had a season-ending
knee surgery,
ankle injury,
and he still walks around with that brace. He's been sacked. He has a sore shoulder on the right, on the throwing arm. Is that a psychological thing? I don't know. On the other hand, Eli Manning, with the aw shucks, you know, Will Rogers look. Oh, they stole my tablet. it's a very devious, confusing calculation generally. No, really, it's true. You look at his face, oh, somebody stole my pamphlet, then he changed my pamphlet. But he is devious.
Wow.
He has
all
an arm.
All well and good, okay? All that's well and good, okay?
Yeah,
the fact of the matter is, in part because you all, but the fact of the matter is that Belichick has absolutely nothing but vengeance in his heart for that 97 loss. That was the biggest loss in his entire
You're missing out on one thing. Bill Belichick really has to win this game because remember Eric Mangini pointed out that they were watching their practices.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
That's another
yeah.
thing. Bill Belichick has to show and prove that, hey, you know what? I have to show you guys that I really can win without all that nonsense.
I want to make $1 billion like Warren Buffett. Does that mean anything?
But you have to understand, too, the Giants have been talking a lot of smack this week.
Yep.
The problem with that is now why the Giants are under scrutiny, because now they're being compared to the Jets, who talked a lot of smack and didn't win the big game. So that's where... Now the Giants are under the limelight even more now because they're saying...
Yeah, but you know what? Let me tell you something. The Giants, under the limelight, being in New York, man, they don't have no problem with it because they're under the limelight.
I got to say this. The Giants, 7 weeks ago, all right, where they had to win five... They couldn't lose a game in the last 5 weeks.
They was dead, Harold.
In the last 5 weeks.
Talk to me, Harold.
They won. Okay.
Talk to me, Harold.
I would talk so much
I hear you.
That y'all would want to run me off the earth.
I hear you, Harold.
I would definitely tell what I got to say.
Go ahead, Harold.
Well, remember, the Giants had the toughest schedule in the NFL.
You guys are forgetting they were going to fire Tom Coughlin. Hello?
Right.
Yes.
I mean, they were so much. They back was so much against the wall. You had to put them into the wall. That's how bad they were going.
Let me say this, okay? One of the reasons that's driving Bill Belichick, Brady, but more so Belichick in this whole thing is, you have to remember that he was on the precipice of football history
They were about to go undefeated
for the season, undefeated for the playoffs, and join only the Miami Dolphins having that distinction. The Giants knocked him out of football immortality, and he will never. That is the most hurtful, painful loss in Bill Belichick's career. And don't you think for one damn minute that he's gotten over it either? He thinks about losing that game every damn day. There's no doubt about it.
Remember that they've been to the Super Bowl 5 times counting today, and they have won 3 of the Super Bowl. One of them back to back.
Whoever wins today will be a 4-time winner.
And Terry Bradshaw. That's what they're looking for that 4th ring. And they will not be denied. It's gonna be a tug of war, it's gonna be a knockdown drag out.
But Dusty, it wasn't just the 4th ring and being one of the few teams to win 4 Super Bowl. They were going for a perfect undefeated season.
Had they won, they would have been considered the greatest football team
of all time.
Ever.
Because you know why, Doc? It's more games that they were playing than the 72 Dolphins.
Right.
But my phone is dying. I don't have the charger. I'm going to say Giants 27-19. It's going to be
You can't. What are you telling me your phone is dying? You can't go. Don't leave us, Rooney.
I think this is going to definitely come down to special teams as well. 27-19 Giants. We're going to bring the championship back here to New York once again and bring them down a parade of champions. And we're going to have
the
parade
the stadium,
here in
right?
New York City.
They're going to move the Jets out of there, right?
Now, let's don't go that far.
The big brother's going to be watching, right?
Yeah. Enjoy the Super Bowl, guys. And we'll talk about this next week.
28-21. Thanks, God bless. Take care.
Thanks.
Okay, see you then. If you can, come back to us. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Network for the show. It is our pre-Super Bowl show. C-Wings is predicting that the Giants will win. Harry Barrett's opinion. Harold brought such a tremendous point. You know, the fact that 6-7 weeks ago the Giants were dead. We talked a little boxing. We're going to get back to some boxing. You know what? I had kind of said this to do 90 minutes, but I guess we're going to have to do without question the extra mic with the mic on, lights off. Jets, Giants have been Super Bowl winners. The Jets won the first ever Super Bowl for an AFL team and the first New York City team to win a Super Bowl. Joe Namath and the Giants. The Giants now under Bill Parcells, which was kind of mind-boggling that this guy who's been such one of the innovators, one of the great coaches of all time, somehow can't seem to get into the NFL Hall of Fame. But
There's somebody else they left out too. It surprised me. Tim Brown for the Raiders. That shocked me.
Yeah, well, you know, the big article was about Brown.
Yeah, that shocked me. I thought he should have got
Chris
in.
Carter.
Chris Carter, man.
I forgot his name. He did 9 years. It was the veteran committee that got him on. Gang, we're going to, without question, I guess we got a good few minutes left here, but we're going to definitely do the mic on, lights off, because I got everybody here, and we've got to continue. The game is going to be, they're not going to come at 6:30, probably closer to 7 than anything else. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Network, the show. Once again, our prayers go out to the Petrelli family, who once again lost another member. Angelo Dundee, the mentor and the great corner man of Muhammad Ali. My name ain't Cassie anymore. It's Muhammad Ali. And also Don Kinnears. Love, peace, and soul.
Don't forget Wayne Kelly, Doc. Wayne Kelly.
And don't forget Wayne Kelly, the referee. Hey, Harold, did
you
know Wayne,
something.
Harold?
Hey, Doc, hold a second.
I knew Wayne Kelly.
Yeah. Thank you, Lady A. I mean, this freaking Michael Buffer, he announced Dundee, he announced Petronelli, and he didn't do Wayne Kelly. Why? Last night.
Well, he probably forgot, Dusty. He probably forgot.
Well, that's stupid. He should know.
Yeah, but you know what, Dusty? I got to give. You know what? And I don't know if you guys caught it. I don't know for those guys that actually saw, you know, the pre-fight intro or whatever with the tribute. But, you know, you got to give Jim Lampley was holding back his tears. Did you see that? Jim Lampley was holding back his tears with Emmanuel Stewart, man. He looked like he was going to break out, man.
He looked like he was holding back his tears. That could have been a Tecate, so I don't know.
I tell you what. I'll never forget. Jim Lampley and Larry Merchant, when we lost Art Curry a couple of years ago at ringside, they didn't hold back the tears. He was a guy who was a profound effect upon everybody at HBO. I think the only African-American there of any position in the boxing department, Ross, I don't say too good for you. So, you know, it's Dwayne Kelly's, these kind of guys who Harold had so much of an impact, and when you were still at the Garden, you know, when we go to the Garden twice a month on a card on February the 7th and February 28th, and you know, outstanding referee. And can we ever forget? Not so long ago, we lost a referee who was the referee in the greatest fight of all time. Our beloved friend Harold West, Arthur McCanty, whose son became a referee. Buffer. Let's not, you know, Mike has come back from a cancer situation. It's true. Mike overcame a cancer situation. So, you know, Mike is not in the best of health. So
yeah?
Buff, back in 2007 or 2008, Buff had, I can't remember exactly what it was, because I remember John Cirillo, used to be the head PR man of Madison Square Garden, sent out a email that Buff was having some problems. I believe it was, might have been, I don't think it was lung or prostate cancer. So, you know, he's come back. I remember I did a poem, Get Well, Buff. And, you know,
wow.
And then, you know, Buff, too, sometimes, you're just not aware. You know, Kelly was a tremendous referee, you know, but you know, he's not Arthur McCanty, you know, he's not Mills Lane, you know, he's not Carlos Padilla in the sense of the glamour, renowned referees. But look, you're right. You're on top of it. In fact, you know, we got to talk. That's what we do have to do. Probably go into our mic on, lights off. Y'all on my Super Bowl game doesn't start at 6:30 because we got to talk about the fight. We got Harold. We got Dusty here. Miguel Cotto, Floyd Mayweather Jr. The cancellation. Okay, gang. That's what we're going to do. Larry Hardy is going to tell us sayonara. And then we're going to come back and do, you know, I always do this, you know, mic on, lights off.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
So what we're going to do, gang, we're going to come on with the mic on, lights off. Larry's going to close us. Larry's going to bring us back. We'll do the extra half hour. We're going to talk about boxing. We're going to talk about some more football. They're also going to talk about the fact that the Berto and Carlos Ortiz fight has been canceled. We're hoping that Dusty won't call back in, but probably he probably will stay in anyway, so what the heck. And Larry Hardesty, hope he can get a hold of us, ESPN sideline reporter, and also Jamie Harris. But if not, Larry will bring us out, bring us in. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports Depth, the show. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the station, Sports Depth, the show. Happy birthday to my brother James on the 7th. Hank Aaron on the 5th. Babe Ruth's birthday with the 6th. Roberto Alomar's birthday, the 5th. And the tremendous head of security at Yankee Stadium, Sonny High. Gang, don't move.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day. Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were 7 wonders of the universe, where here's the 8th, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, lights on, mic on, as we continue here on our Sports in Depth Super Bowl Sunday, and also our Black History Remembrance and homage, you know, Arthur Schomburg, who was, ironically, you know, of the Schomburg Institute here in New York. Quick prayer, dear Lord, thank you. Bless us, guide us, strengthen us, that your will weigh be first and foremost in our lives. And we thank you for your God all by yourself. Lady once said, although we don't live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a Park Avenue bench. Bless the players today in today's Super Bowl, that they come out with no injuries. More importantly, God, our family, friends here, Brazil, and all over the world, in the name of your darling son, Jesus, who died on the cross, that we may have the right to the tree of life. Amen. So the thing here, too, we got some big fights coming up. Mayweather and
Cotto.
Yo, Cotto is coming up, but the fight between
May 5th.
Yeah, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, and then we have the Super Bowl today, so we're going to talk in the latter part about the Super Bowl. We're going to move in to some boxing real quick. It's watching up with the mic on, lights off. The 5 names on our thing, Jim Brown, greatest football player that ever lived, led the league in rushing 8 out of 9 years. Curtis Martin. Kudos. Congratulations on making it to the Football Hall of Fame. Eddie Murray's birthday, the 24th. Greatest, as a Jet, who's the greatest switch in the history of baseball. And we also want to have your birthday, Hank Aaron, whose birthday on the 5th, the day before
happy
that,
birthday,
Babe Ruth on the 6th. And we also have Roberto Alomar's birthday. And Eddie Murray, the 24th of this month. And my good man, Sonny Hyatt, over there at Yankee Stadium, one of the most decorated detectives in the history of New York City. And that means he made one of the most decorated history of the universe and head of security of Yankee Stadium. And I want to say congratulations and a great post-career to Jorge Posada. I've been correct. He's Cuban father, Dominican mother, and raised in Puerto Rico. Boy, you don't get more Latin than that. And I think if people don't realize, you know, Jorge, only Yogi Berra has better stats in the Hall of Fame than him. People say he's a borderline Hall of Famer. If you got better stats, only Yogi Berra is superior to you, then that means Carter, who we hope is getting better in his incident,
yeah,
Johnny Bench,
God,
Roy Campanella, who won 3 MVPs, Ernie Lombardi, who won the batting championship, then he may have won 2 batting championships, Bill Dickey, that's 5 guys. He's got better stats than those guys, and he's got to be in the Hall of Fame. Doc
and
Kelly,
much kudos to him, Doc Jorge Posada. His son's a special needs kid, and he contributes a lot of his time to special needs.
He's a humble guy, too. You know, I met him a few times. He's really
very
nice
guy. Very nice.
Yeah, he set up a foundation.
Love movies, too. Love the movies. Love the movies, Doc. He's a big movie fan, too.
He's a big boxing fan, too, so you know he's all right. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network for the show. It is a pre-Super Bowl moves. Game doesn't come on at 6:30, which means we'll come on about 7:05. So we're giving you mic on, lights off. We gave you 90 minutes on. We gave you another 30 minutes with it off. The crew is here. Everybody has confirmed we like the Giants to win the game. But let's talk a little boxing real quickly. Harold, Miguel Cotto, and Floyd Mayweather Jr. How do you see that fight? And then everybody else take it from there. Harold, your pick and why?
It's an interesting fight. You know, it's an interesting fight. If Cotto fights the way he fought his last fight, and and really, but he's got to be more pressure with Floyd. You know, you
absolutely
can't. You can't be a boxer on the outside with Floyd and let him think and take his time. You got to make Floyd work. Cause Floyd, let me just say this. Floyd is not a fighter that's going to fight 3 minutes a round, okay? And you got to really do a lot of, you know, smart moves on him moving forward and really making him work. But Cotto, if he really fights him the first 7-8 rounds, and go to him and make him throw punches like he did in his early days when he was, you know, when Cotto first came out.
Absolutely.
He's in a good fight. But if he stays back and does that hoppity hop back and come forward and hoppity hop back and.
Yep. We'll talk about
spots,
that last fight, Dusty.
You know, look for his spots and all that, then he's going to lose. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, he's an ideal for Floyd, but at the same time, he's bigger than Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does, he's a smart. He's a smart fighter, but it's an interesting fight. That's all I can say. It's an interesting fight. It depends
on how much
really
does it bother you, Harold? How much does it bother you that and well, I know it was being redundant, but Doc Sandy Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Network, the show, and a lot of you are tuning in for the first time here from around the world. How much does it bother you, Harold, that they've done away with the historical way of a fighter comes in, because you said he's going to be bigger. And in the old days, Harold, you weighed in the same day of the fight, and you had to make the same weight. How much does that bother you that boxing
doesn't bother me on that. What bothers me with boxing today is that you got champions picking their own darn fighters who they want to fight.
There you go.
Look at Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. last night.
Oh, what a choke.
A guy
that
got knocked out.
Yeah. I think that guy should have won that fight.
Then he gets another title shot. My point is that it's so aggravating to why people do not look at boxing as they should because of the people that's running it don't know what they're doing. Unfortunately, is that we just have morons that are out there that just put money in their pocket and it's destroying a great sport and industry because they want to make money out of it. They're not looking to build the sport or help the young men that's coming out of the Golden Gloves and coming out of poverty or coming from the hood and all that. They're not looking at it on those sports. They're just looking at it like, say, I got to make some money. And this is the best way to make money. So I know how to make money out of this boxing, and that's what they're doing today.
Well, that's basically what I was saying, Harold. I piggyback on you, is that the destruction, but again, I dogmatically go back to the loss of control by those lame duck boxing commissions. When the heck are you going to get the guy last night, Marc Antonio Rubio, you know, oh, sure, they keep saying, Lampley kept saying, well, he won 10 straight, none of them were knockouts. So what? He knocked out the kid from Canada. So what? He had about 60 fights. He's been to the top. He's a veteran fighter. But the sadness is, to piggyback on you, Harold, is the fact that you had Jose Suleiman, who runs the WBC, call out Sergio Martinez and tell him step aside so that he can fight Rubio. And then we'll promise you a shot at Julio Cesar Chavez. When does the commission going to say, wait a minute, man, wait, you don't do that. We dictate. Ring Magazine, many millenniums ago, when I was there, you'll see the champion with the 10 contenders. I think we talked about that before, Harold. The 10 contenders. All over the world, we got four different titles. I mean, four different belts of four of the same weight, all internationally. Man, I mean, that doesn't make sense. This is the lame duck. Now the control of people. Let me just segue into this: the control of people. You talk about Miguel Cotto and Mayweather. Man, that's a fight that I wanted to see for the last 6 years. But let's just talk about the present. He had to become a free agent December 31st to pick and choose the guys that he's always wanted to fight. Gives you the inference that under control of Top Rank, he had to fight the guys that Top Rank put in front of him.
Absolutely.
Which is the Margaritas and the Pacquiao's and the Claudies and all them guys. Now,
He had to fight the guys that Bob Arum told him to fight.
Right.
Is that what you meant to say?
In Deporte, ESPN Deportes, Golpe a Golpe, he says, I have not signed with Bob Arum. As far as you're concerned, everybody's concerned, I'm a free agent to pick and choose and fight who I want. Thank God. Now,
well,
this is the,
what did I what did I try to
let me finish. Let me finish. Please, let me finish. This is the clincher here. The fight is signed, almost delivered for May 5th, and there was a press conference between him and Mayweather. Mayweather says, I'll beat him. Cotto says, I'll beat him. It's going to be a great fight. Now, from left field comes Bob Arum. He said he can't fight Mayweather on May 5th because he still owes me a fight. And then he brought up the history that some time ago, you remember that Cotto had to go to the hospital to repair a shoulder. He has a steel rod in it.
He was in a car accident.
Right. So a fight that
in Puerto Rico.
So a fight that they had programmed was canceled. So even though the contract is expired, he's still sticking to the fact that you owe me a fight, so you can't fight this one. So I said, wow, this is the control. Now,
Bob Arum is your boss, Dusty.
Right.
Bob Arum is your boss. Bob Arum is your boss, Dusty.
Now, you tell me, where is the commission going to come up and say, wait a minute, contract is null and void, he was on the disabled list, you have no bitch about this. He did the same thing with Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao was in limbo. Okay, let me finish. Was in limbo. He went over to Golden Boy, and he signed. He got a $50,000 signing bonus. All of a sudden, Aaron comes and said, no. We signed a year ago for a three-fight contract. He owes me two fights, and the rest was history. So that's what I'm saying, Harold, to piggyback on what you're saying. It's the weakness, the freaking commissions, man. I'm used to the toughness of those people. Now
well,
all of a sudden,
Dusty, can
we blame all this on the commissions? I mean,
yes,
come on.
I mean,
Pacquiao seems to be like, and those who understand the Spanish, like a little chocho, man. I mean, but I heard from a very good source, okay, that Pacquiao allows Arum to dictate because Pacquiao is in debt to Arum. Okay? I kept wondering, why would this guy not say, like, hey, man, I'm the champ? So, you know, sometimes things as they seem.
I don't know where,
came
from, but.
It doesn't matter where it came from. I said it came from a good source. That's in the conversation, okay?
I got the floor, gang.
I've heard that Pacquiao is in to Arum. And, I mean, you got to figure this out. Why is Arum running the show? Why is Arum so dominant? Because evidently he's got something over Pacquiao. And that's the bottom line.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, Harold.
Stop all your talking, okay?
Go ahead.
There's a law in this world that you cannot stop a man from making a living.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a law by that. No matter what it is, it's like the law of the situation where you cannot stop a man from making a living. My point to you is this. Arum and nobody, these so-called lawyers that these so-called fighters got will understand that no promoter can stop any fighter from
Absolutely.
Making a living if he wants to fight for somebody else.
But they don't know, Harold.
Got to do
they don't
just
know.
Pay him.
They don't know.
Everybody's talking around the world saying he's stopping. Nobody can stop him from doing anything.
Harold, exactly. I agree. But this has been the strength of Bob Arum, who not only picks guys with talent, but picks guys who are not as okay, cerebral as they should be.
So wait,
they become the holy.
Can we just rewind? Yo, stop a second. Can we just rewind?
Okay,
so we're saying now that, hold on. So we're saying now that Mayweather, who definitely had to fight May 5th, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're saying. Definitely has to fight May 5th because if not, he has to go to jail without making his money, right? Okay? He has it, and he has a contract set with Cotto saying that he's going to fight Cotto, and now out of left field, Bob Arum decides now. That's ridiculous.
Arum cannot stop it, okay? He can make a brief, but he cannot stop it. My point is, There's a law in the world, constitution. You cannot stop a man from making a living. If Cotto wants to fight, he'll fight. If he owes Aaron money, he just pays him off. That's how
exactly.
It goes.
That's exactly what I'm thinking about.
Or how about this, Harold? How about fight the fight? He owes him later. Let me say this.
You cannot, let me say something to you, everybody. You cannot stop a program. You
exactly.
Can't stop a fight. Okay?
The commission
can
stop it. The commission can
stop it.
Yeah, the commission can stop it, not a promoter. And
right.
That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you.
The commission
right,
is not
going
to stop a show
right.
when you already put the show in and it has nothing to do with the commission. If he's not on suspension and he didn't do a criminal crime, he can still
exactly.
fight.
Well, that's
right.
What I'm saying. So hopefully his fight will take off.
All that they talk about is just bull.
Right. And what people don't know is that Floyd Mayweather, just like
take a little break here. We're battling. We're getting learning things here. We'll quickly take a little break. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake River. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel. Sports Network is the show. Everybody here, if you're listening, it is a Super Bowl special and a Black History Month continuation. We are saluting Jim Brown. We're saluting Eddie Murray, Hank Aaron, Bill Russell. And we're also some Curtis Martin going into the Hall of Fame. If you call them, consensus here, Giants are going to win. They're the better football team on both sides of the football. And right now, a little plug, DocStanleySports.com, my sports site, my historical collection of data.
Museum.
And you say, Doc, is it only in sports? No. I've got an autographed Dizzy Gillespie album. Oh, yeah. An autographed none other than Aretha Franklin, Miles Dewey Davis, Tony Bennett. But if you're a boxing fan, and we're talking about boxing, would have in boxing, I've got gloves autographed, Harold Weston Jr., Destino Baby Lewis is on it, Bernard Hopkins, Big Daddy Riddick Bowe, Muhammad Ali, Smoking Joe Frazier, Jose Torres, yes, both Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather Jr., Miguel Cotto, Jump Rope, autographed by Klitschko, David Hay, and an autograph wrote by the only father and son to ever team that is to win world championship, Tracy Patterson and Floyd Patterson. DocStanleySports.com. Hit the site. You got it. We've got it. You want it. We'll get it to you. Back to Sports in Depth right now. We're babbling. We're talking. Miguel Cotto against Floyd Mayweather.
Let me finish
Junior.
This thought, Doc. Okay?
Go
ahead, Dustin.
Floyd
Mayweather, you know, this fight was so important, okay, that the judge, maybe she's a fight fan, Michelle Siragusa, allowed him, because he had already signed the contract with an opponent to be named later, you know, with his high-priced lawyers, allowed him a suspended sentence, providing that he report June 6th, so he can comply with the May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Floyd does not have a license. She gave him a one-day pass. That one-day pass that Margarito denied he had in Texas. A one-day, so when you are, and I'm sorry to use this word, when you're considered a lawbreaker and a felon, you and if you have enough powerful lawyers, you get what is called a one-day pass for that one day. Which does not go across state for that state, and that's what he has to fight Miguel Cotto, providing that as he's training, he behaves himself, he doesn't get into any squabble, because that would be a violation of the word, and right then and there, right out of the gym, they'll pull him out of the gym and throw him in jail. That's what the stipulation is. That's why this contract is going through. And Harold, you're absolutely right. No promoter has any right, but this is what eats me alive. I don't understand the weak-kneed, political hack attitude of the commissions to tell out and say, wait a minute, your contract expired. You owe him a contract, or he owes you a fight. It's dead. It's dead. And if you want to work out a deal, like he says, I work with all promoters, well, then you could do that sometime later, like you said, Lady A. But he cannot stop that fight. And I don't know how he got away with it with Pacquiao.
But you know what? That just says a little bit about the character of him as a man. You know,
well,
like the character of him as a man.
Great point.
Great point.
See, hey, I mean, because
you know
what? It's amazing. It's amazing, Harold, Dusty, Lady A, C-Wing. C-Wing's is gone. The Hoopster and Melvin. It's amazing
how, you know, the character of Bob Arum has never been attacked like the character of Don King.
Oh, Don King.
I heard guys say, I remember, I'm not going to mention the guy's name. And he said, you know what? He said, no, they call Arum the devil. I mean, and you know, if King was doing these, and I've said this before, if Margarito was a Don King fighter, Margarito and Don King would be banned from boxing.
Well,
if Don King was the guy trying to put together Mayweather and Pacquiao, they would have said, you know, Don has failed. And it's, you know, it's just amazing, and it's not, if you know the culture and the structure of America, how Arum can constantly, and Harold, you said it here, Harold, come on, Harold, you know, you, Harold, the man has bribed people and paid judges for fights, Harold.
Well,
I wouldn't say he paid judges. I'm saying he paid certain people for certain ratings.
Okay.
All right, but my point is that he knew what the deal was going to be. He knew what the outcome was going to be of the fight because of him paying. And he admitted to that. And like you said, he was never, ever being brought on charges of any of that.
Indicted or anything.
And the boxing commission has always looked over that. They never brought him to any hearing or anything. And that goes for quite a few people that admitted to what they did with some bribery to certain officials in the game of boxing. And my point is that the only person I saw go up before all that was a Don King, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I saw certain people really go before the commission and about things and went to jail. I mean, even Panama Lewis went to jail for something that nobody even knew nothing about.
Exactly.
He knew me.
And Bob Arum is the type of character. He's the type of character that you see. His three main moneymakers, thank God, they broke loose from that umbilical cord, which was Oscar, Mayweather, and now Cotto. And they went into their own promotion. It is healthy for me to see, after all I've been through, to see guys say, wait a minute, I could charter my own course. I'm not so stupid that I can't
read
free
at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at
last. Don't tell me I don't know the language of a contract. Don't tell me that I cannot negotiate.
Well,
don't tell me that I cannot pick and choose. If you guys remember, then this is what
I'm saying. Dusty, I hear you, baby. Viva,
yeah.
Viva Puerto Rico.
When,
I want to go to Mel. So, Mel, has that happened in your world of wrestling? Where the control has been seized, freedom has been obtained. Has that happened?
Well, it's kind of a different setup, Doc, in the fact that for a very long time, everybody had an individual. Everyone negotiated their own kind of individual contracts. Hulk Hogan would have one deal with Vince McMahon. The Ultimate Warrior would have another deal. I mean, that's, believe it or not, the early to mid-70s, that guys in this business started to get guaranteed money. I mean, the contracts weren't guaranteed then. It took, I believe it was Kevin Nash and Scott Hall as a tag team to finally, bring the Federation into, like, the 20th century and the man to have guaranteed money. So that was somewhat of a, an advance in wrestling. But in answer to your question, it's funny you should say that, Doc, because since everybody was basically doing their own thing and had their own setups, Jesse Ventura, mayor fame, governor fame, the political and former wrestler Jesse Ventura, actually tried to start a wrestler's union, Doc. But
and actor, Jesse the Body Ventura, the actor.
Indeed. And tried to start something where they'd have medical, you know, sort of a standard minimum of things. And the way he tells it, you know, someone would always get the message to McMahon that, you know, Jesse's talking union again. And now, I don't know if there's ever been any proof, but he says the fellows would tell him that it was Hogan trying to, you know, kind of sabotage that. But in answer to your question, Doc, it's gotten much better. Guys have basically gotten, you know, using sports agents to go through that. Before, it was just a regular guy, you know, negotiating his own deal. So in that respect, it's gotten better in that the contracts are basically guaranteed for the most part. And, you know, the stars, you know, have their own agents, you know, doing the bidding. As before, a guy would just
McMahon would just invite a guy, especially his father-in-law, so invite a guy up, talk about it, say, we'll give you this, 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 for this, 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 and that was it. So it was kind of similar, but they've actually come into the 21st century as far as that's concerned.
Doc, I want to say something. I mean, one of the things I look at is, what is the future of boxing look like when these guys actually leave? I mean, all these fighters, I mean, who's going to be the next future promoter? Because now you don't have Don King. You got this guy, Aram, who, not for nothing,
they
but more and more, the more you look
promoted.
At it, Doc, the more you
they
look at it, Doc, the more shifty boxing looks.
Well, promoters are like roaches, man. I'm telling
let me explain to you. See, you don't know about this whole thing about boxing. These guys were not promoters. They were for themselves. They were for putting money in their pocket.
Right.
Promoters were people in Madison Square Garden. That was promoters.
Right.
They did shows for the public so they can see good quality fights. That's promotion.
But how did it get to the point? But I'm saying, Harold, is how did it get
My
to the point where we have
this.
To deal with this? That's what I'm saying.
I'm getting ready to say to you, Lady D. I'm getting ready to say to you, unless you get somebody that's going to come on board and bring a real platform for fighters to fight on an equal basis and let the public enjoy what they're paying for, boxing in the next 5 to 10 years is gone. Completely demolished.
Yeah, and again, I have to piggyback and agree with Harold. But the only problem I have is the 5-year nail in the coffin, because of the fact.
I know,
and,
I said
and,
5 or 10.
Yeah, right. And the fact of the matter is that yes, what has happened here with boxing, and maybe throughout centuries that we didn't realize, is the fact that who becomes a promoter, who becomes a manager, is these old homeboy networks, like baseball owners, like franchise basketball owners,
right.
Let's get together and say, hey, let's buy the New York Nets. Boom. George Steinbrenner bought the Yankees for, what was it, $10,000,
yeah,
$20,000?
That's
and become, you know, and
no, that's dangerous,
go.
Too. Don't go
exactly.
there, okay? Don't go
what?
There.
Well, that's
because
exactly what these guys
reason,
are.
You, no,
Bob
no,
Arum
you,
was a lawyer, man. He was a federal judge. And he says, I've always loved boxing, and once I fulfilled my commitment to my Jewish parents, I did what I wanted to do. I became a promoter.
do you want to listen or you want
no,
to
wait, wait a minute,
what
but I'm,
my point, my
I'm,
point
I'm
is
supporting
you,
you don't
but want
I
to go
exactly
there.
What I've been through. Well, what
you don't want to go there.
Yeah.
You don't want to go there.
Why not?
Because
tell
you know why? You will not be in boxing. I will not be in boxing. If they make it a union, you will not be in boxing.
But I never said union.
No,
I'm
no.
saying the
That's
old
what
homeboys.
You're saying. And these guys today are trying to make a union.
Oh, really?
The Luther Bella and all these guys have got this little union going around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there. Yeah, well, that's... Yeah,
all right?
I
don't see one black promoter in the group.
Exactly.
Okay. I don't see one knowledgeable person in the group.
Mm.
Okay. And then you want to make this a union and then
no,
you
I
tell
didn't
us
say that,
that this is good?
No, I'm saying there's a difference between a union and an old homeboy. Look at the pedigree. Luther Bella, lawyer. Bob Arum, lawyer. Okay? Gary Shaw, a mercantile businessman. Okay? Who else? Okay, let's use those three. These are guys that saw, just like Stick Evers when he saw
Goosen, Joe
Goosen in his hat factory. Stick Evers was a factory owner. He saw this big kid and said, man, we could put him into boxing. And the rest was history. This is what I'm trying to say. If there is a union, there's going to be problems. Why? I don't know.
Right.
Maybe it's for the best.
Right.
I don't know, because of the fact that unions are in baseball, unions are in football, and unions are in basketball. Look at the lockouts and what these guys are making. We are making chump change compared and at a more dangerous sport than these guys, with all due respect to basketball and football and baseball. And these guys
well, Dusty, much like the wrestlers, Dusty, weren't the fighters, Harold, considered somewhat of independent contractors?
Yes.
Well, yeah. Exactly. And
right.
This is why I glorify when I see the Cotos and the Pacquiao's and the Mayweather's and the Golden Boys. Remember the guy from Connecticut, the original Shadow Man? I forgot. He incorporated himself and he sold shares of his contract.
I did a couple of his fights too.
Right.
And
the man incorporated. He incorporated himself, whereas he was not controlled by anybody. He was the CEO of his own corporation. This is why when these guys break off.
Well, I mean, he didn't do nothing that sugar. That, well, let me say, Ray Leonard started it all.
Right.
Ray Leonard
there you go.
Started. All right, so he just followed over Ray Leonard's piggyback. That's
absolutely.
All he did.
With Mike Trainor. And basically,
I mean, so
this is what it is, the independence.
Yeah.
And the independence of fighters are being told, you know, when I hear an Aaron telling me, when I spoke to him, he says, I said, well, you finally got Miguel Cotto and Margarito. He says, yeah, so now it's going to be a unification, so whoever wins will hold two titles. He said, no. No, it doesn't work that way. Margarito,
you know what?
Because
if I was in this, I would eliminate every organization in boxing.
Yep,
every
you're right.
Organization
absolutely.
In boxing. And start off at the beginning.
Exactly.
Okay? One world champion, okay? The fact is that, you know, fighters can get their manager or they can promote themselves. I don't care why they do it.
Absolutely.
Right? But you would not have this chaos that we have today in boxing.
I agree. Exactly. Absolutely.
Well, Dusty, listening to Harold, Dusty, it makes it sound like you guys being professional gladiators would rather do without the alphabet soups.
Well, yeah, right. The alphabet soup, you got to. You like Harold said, I think Harold, you said it three days ago. We had one champion and 10 contenders. Okay?
Right.
Then you went down the line and you saw the 25th possibly rising star kid who's trying to break into the 10 contenders. That's the way it was, and that was more legit, more clean, with the Boxing Commission controlling it. Now you have Helter Skelter. Are we going to clean up this cancer? I don't think so. This cancer is too widespread, and it's not going to stop.
Only way this cancer could be, no, it can be stopped, believe me. Anything can be stopped, though. Don't say ever say that. Anything can be stopped.
Okay, all right.
My point is that, you know, the United States government, like we said, the Boxing Commission, has got to get on top of this and agree on this. The problem we have with that is that even the Boxing Commissioners can't agree. I mean, Texas is going to agree to Margarito to fight after he's been expended in another state. I mean,
that's
the problem we have.
Absolutely. You're on target, Harold. You're on target.
So does that mean that Howard, Dusty, you and Howard would be in favor of more of like a national commission?
Of course. Well, there has
to be
reciprocity. If I suspend Doc in New York, Doc cannot go to Jersey or Connecticut and get a one-day pass and fight. It has to be a collateral agreement among all states.
Makes sense.
That did not happen with Margarito. He got a one-day pass in the Texas Commission with the influence of Bob Arum and Jerry Jones to fight that night. And that's what I'm saying. If if you're suspended, you committed a crime over there. Well, that crime is collateral over here, and that crime is collateral on the other state. Stop.
Right.
But basically this is not happening. This is why I had my anger and my druthers and I was upset with Margarito coming to New York and fight in the Garden. I said, wait a minute, this guy's suspended. He hasn't cleared out with his eye or socket. And look at that, he's walking around with a freaking
olive. You didn't like him because he was Mexican, Dusty. Cut it out. On the Blake Griffin Network. Gang, we're going to close it down here because we're going to get you guys to that Super Bowl.
I get to the Super Bowl.
And we're going to try to do a midnight show here, so we're going to come back. Real quickly, everybody has concurred that they like Mayweather. That's right. Everybody's concurred that they like the Giants to win this game. It is a Super Bowl special. A salute to the Giants and the Patriots for getting to the Super Bowl. And also, we salute our Black History Month pioneers, Jackie Robinson,
minute,
the 31st.
I got caught over Mayweather. What are you talking about, man?
Dusty, that's why we can't hear you too clearly.
I'm saying the Giants by a blowout. Blow him out.
Dusty, Giants win this one?
Big time.
To me, it's a pick'em Giant war, but
Dusty,
I think
you know what,
Giants
Dusty, you know what? From now on, I'm going to call you the mayor. You're a politician. Now it's a pick'em fight.
Because you don't rule out your opponent, my man. Mm.
I'm saying the Giants are going to win by 10 or 14 points. Get off the fence. Pick somebody. Here's $5. Bet, Dusty.
Okay, I'm going to bet with your $5.
Yeah, you kept the whole $5. See what I mean?
No, let me tell you something. You know, it's funny. We just about closed, but let me tell you something. Did you guys know that Ariel Hernandez, who's the Patriots, is also Puerto Rican?
We knew that. Did you know Jim Brown was black?
Hey,
Doc, just quickly, Giants 28-21, two sacks by Jason Pierre-Paul, one touchdown catch.
I knew you had to bring your man in there.
I'm picking the Giants, and Victor Cruz is going to be running like a purse snatcher with three touchdowns.
No, hey, he is a purse snatcher. He's Puerto Rican.
Yes, we can do the cha-cha and the merengue, though.
Aaron Hernandez says, I'm not going to do salsa when I get to the end. I'm going to do merengue.
He can't dance. That's why he can't do it. Doc Stanley, Sports Day for the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Hotel, Sports Day for the show. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you have been privy to the greatest collection of sports minds in our generation, Lady A, Destino Baby, Lois Harold Weston Jr., first and only African-American matchmaker in the history of Madison Square Garden, MSG welterweight champion. He doesn't like to acknowledge it. Former WWF star Mel Cosell, Little Coco Rooney, C-Wings, greatest football mind of our time, and the Hoopster, who was a legendary player back in Brownsville, and like my man Mel Cosell, a close friend of none other than Michael Gerald Tyson, the youngest man ever to win heavyweight championship of the world. We're going to let you go. We're going to try to come back to you later tonight with a post-show, but you've heard the gang. We've talked football. We've talked basketball. But more importantly, we've talked intellect. We've talked African-American history. We've talked Latin history. And as every show, we hope you've learned something, and we want you to join us on Next Sports in Depth. And with that, we're going to let Dusty, as we play a little bit of my favorite, my man, I love him so immensely, none other than Stanley Turrentine, who I got a chance to open for. DocStanleySports.com is the site. Check it out. We've got some everything for you. Baseball right now we're putting up. We're going to put some football, some boxing for you, too. Harold Weston Jr., Lady A, the Stanley Baby Lewis, and none other than Mel Cosell, Lil Mel Smith, Lil Rooney. We say enjoy the game. We'll try to catch you with a late-night show tonight. J-E-T-S Jets. No, they ain't here. It's G-I-A-N-T-S. Gang, it's always a pleasure. But leave your thoughts. Live your life today as if it's December before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? The Son of Man came to serve and not be served. Dusty will once again have the last say as he closes out. But once again, we thank you for being with us in Sports in Depth. As always, all homage to the master, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank Neil Blake, the man who put this all together, and the First Lady of Radio, Deidre Shuler, the First Lady of Sports, Lady A. Gang, we're going to close out. Dusty, we're going to let Larry close us out, and then you come behind Dusty. And Dusty, please, this time, will you say it all in English and not in Spanish? And when you get a chance, ask Consuela.
Ask Consuela.
Ask Consuelo. Who's the horses? Dusty, hold on. Dusty.
Not Consuelo, Altagracia. You changed your name, man.
Once again, your ass got away. Consuelo, tell Consuelo that I want $7 on the bolita. You know what I mean? and a nickel on the old way. Don't move, gang. Larry Hardesty, greatest African-American sportscaster in the history of New York City radio, what makes him the greatest of all time. Larry, do this one.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Okay, Lady A, Harold, the Mel Cosell, and Dusty, Tell everybody good night. We're looking to do a midnight show possibly with the post-Super Bowl. But say, Dusty, slowly, calmly, and in English.
I have to say good night because everybody tells me to slow down because I speak too fast. And I speak so fast that I get into my Latino. And, oh, yeah, goodbye. God bless everybody.
What's the death? Dusty, now say it in Spanish real quickly.
Buenas noches y lo vemos después a midnight, medianoche, para discutir el super tazón. ¿Quién gana?
Gang, I love you all.
Quizá los gigantes. Los gigantes.
Back.
Hey,
back.
Okay.
We're gone.
I got to say this about Gus. I agree with him because when my Latino girlfriend gets mad at me, she don't speak English no more. She just speaks French. And I just know it's bad.
Well, you got to behave. That's why you got to behave.
Hey, Harold, you better get yourself a dictionary.
hey, Dusty, what's for? Because it's not
good.
In a dictionary. It ain't in a dictionary,
yeah,
Dusty.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, you could decipher the words and see the close meaning.
Malcolm, so.
Good night, everybody.
Final
good
thought?
Night.
Good night.
Take
good
care.
Night. God bless. See you later, actually.
Right. Okay. Thank you, gang. Love
bye.
You, gang. Bye now.
Same here. So long.